You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. If you listen to KALW before Cross Currents, chances are you've heard our next interviewee co-hosting All Things Considered. Kelly McEvers has had a well-traveled career in journalism. She's reported stories from Beirut to Baghdad and won multiple awards for her coverage of the Syrian conflict. And she's not done reporting yet. These days, Kelly's been hosting and producing NPR's investigative podcast Embedded, soon to launch its second season. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs spoke to her about her career as a radio journalist and what it means to become truly embedded in a community.
Tell me about the very first radio story you ever did.
It was so bad.
What was it like?
It was terrible. It was unbelievably bad. So I was working for the Chicago Tribune in the 90s, and I worked on the internet staff at first. That was, like, how you got into, like, big jobs at newspapers was, like, you're, like, you remember the internet, like, at newspapers? Remember, like, banner ads and stuff? And slideshows, audio slideshows, that was, like, a thing. So I'd work with photographers all the time, and I would, like, take a microphone out, and I would do audio slideshows. So I kind of knew audio, but I wasn't writing radio stories. So I went to... Anyway, I went to Cambodia. I quit the Tribune, went to Cambodia, and I really wanted to be a foreign correspondent. So I just, like, did it. I went and worked at an English language newspaper. And then at one point, the BBC correspondent was leaving town. She was like, does anybody here know how to do radio? And I was like, I sort of kind of do. I got a microphone. And she was like, great, you're my replacement. And I was like, what? So, like, it was just, like, baptism by fire. Like, I had no idea how to do radio. I was, like, crazy. And then all of a sudden, like, the BBC was just like, beep, calling, hi, can you do a package? And I was like, I don't know, what's a package? Can you do a donut? Hello. And I was like, what is that? I don't know how to do this job at all. It's like, I was clueless about how to do radio. They eventually flew me to London and taught me. But anyway, one of the first stories I think I ever did was a piece, actually, that I pitched to NPR. It was about, you know, the Khmer Rouge, which was this horrible organization that had taken over Cambodia in 1975 and ruled the place for 4 years. And there were, of course, the genocide that followed. And will these guys ever see justice? And it was just like, it was like the worst of radio, right? It was like a term paper. And then I was, like, able to, like, learn how to make radio. I mean, it took a long time. Like, I made some bad radio for a really long time. But at least I, like, got that one out of the way, like, tape is not a sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to use something, you have to tell me where you are. I was like, really? Oh, I thought you just, like, I thought tape just fell out of the sky.
The next interview we do, I'm just going to have you do impressions of the BBC, I think.
Beep calling. Hello, beep calling.
Was there a particular community or instance that you found was memorably hard to embed yourself in, and how did you deal with it?
It's funny because I think one of the hardest ones was... with people in Austin, Indiana, people who, by a lot of accounts, are as close to my experience as anyone I've ever reported on. I mean, they're literally hours away from the small town that I grew up in, a small town that itself is embroiled in an opioid crisis. I'm familiar with drug use, you know, and living in a community like this, but it was still hard because I represented something different. You know, I could say, like, I'm just from, you know, few counties over, which was true, but, like, I represent this other thing, this East Coast media organization, which very few people were even familiar with at all, right? They're like, NPR, what's that? I mean, in some ways, like, the people who I think are closest to you can be the hardest to report on, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because on one level, you're just like, yeah, we know each other. We get each other. Like, you know, I mean, my like, language even kind of slipped into my... You know, as we all do, I think, right? We all code switch a little bit in our own little way. I kind of slipped into kind of like hick Central Illinois language a little bit more when I was there, you know, and almost it was like there was like too much familiarity, like, and so that actually made it harder to do it. But yeah, I mean, it's always hard. Like, there's always this super complicated thing of like, hi, I'm parachuting into your world. Sing me the song of your people. You know, I mean, it's horrible. Like, it's terrible, right? You're just... At worst, as Janet Malcolm says, you are stealing from people. You are exploiting their situation. You know, in her book, The Journalist and the Murderer, like, she famously writes about this. But at best, you are trying to get in there and say, I respect you. I am here to listen to you. You are in control of this situation. I am completely transparent about who I am. I am not tricking you. I am telling you exactly what I'm doing from the moment I walk in the door. I'm giving you complete, like, full-on reasons for why I'm here and doing this story and who I work for and where it's going to air and what it's going to be. And you have the freedom to say yes or no to this scenario. Mm-hmm. And in the best case scenario, people say yes because they want to talk. They want to tell their story. I have found that pretty much anywhere I go, all over the world, if you sit down, look somebody in the eye, and you're truly listening to them, and you're genuinely curious about their life and who they are and how they got to be where they are, you know, there's just a constant conversation about it. I'm not in a hurry. You know, I don't have to get back and file on a deadline. It's like, I'll sit here as long as you need because I want to be here, and I want, but I also want you to want me to be here.
Is there someone you talked to either here or abroad that you felt like you would have loved to spend some more time and tell their story, but you just didn't have the opportunity for whatever reason in that particular moment?
I mean, everyone in Syria.
Everyone in Syria.
Right? Like, I didn't do enough. I'll never get over the feeling that I didn't do enough in Syria, ever. Mm-hmm. And just sit and listen to the people tell their stories for as long as they needed to tell them. There were times when I had to go in and go out really fast because it wasn't safe for me or for them, for me to be sitting there interviewing them. There were times when I'd be in a refugee camp and I'd just have to talk to somebody for like 3 questions. It was horrible. We almost kind of stopped doing it at some point because it was worse to go in and do it so fast than not doing it at all. You know, all these stories I did in the Middle East, like, I was never alone. And which is something I loved about my job at the time so much. You know, I was always riding with a posse. And on any given story, like, you name the story, and I can tell you the story of the people who helped make it possible. And I feel like that is something that people very rarely ask me. You know, Ahmed, Rima, Hussein, Lava, all the people who rolled with me, Allah, our driver in Aleppo, like, all the people who just rolled with me and just made it possible. I feel like I don't get to tell those stories enough.